In this episode, you're going to learn how to never have a company or client outgrow you, to always know what's next for growth, and how to tie everything that you recommend into the KPIs that you or other stakeholders care the most about.
Got the right ingredients for revenue growth. A pinch of effort and a dash of hope won't cut it anymore. Grab your utensils. You're about to get some high-performing marketing recipes. Welcome to Client Boost Kitchen.
So, Pat, we like the Marketing Maturity Mountain. We had a lot of fun building it with our friend Drew as well, too, who was, shout out to Drew Leahy. If you guys don't know him, give him a follow on LinkedIn as well, too. He was the daddy of the Marketing Maturity Mountain. So I think it's really important to kind of understand and have a POV on, when do you know when it's time to do more within a marketing discipline, like SEO or paid ads or CRO or whatever it may be. It could be programmatic. Like, what are the triggers, essentially, like the graduation requirements that you're hoping for to see? And how do you, from previous episode, tie the waterfall of the math of marketing that we talked about to know what your company needs to be at or achieve, essentially, as well, too? So that's step one. It's like, what do you need to know to recommend for the next step, so that, not that we want you to do more that has less impact, but have very high impact and keep spinning that plate while you can now start another plate to spin, right? Or that plate can be held by another colleague, another team member, an agency, what have you as well too, right? So that's step one. The triggers that you should be looking for and the KPIs and metrics of when you know it's kind of safe to grow into the next thing to do, the increasing the complexity. And how do you know as well too that, as you keep going from, let's say, product market fit to demand capture to demand generation to what we call pricing, offers, and geography, short for, I think you made this acronym, POG. I was like, you know, using pricing as a lever, coming with new offers, and then expanding geographically as well too. And then the last stage being brand. How do you compute that if you have lead volume goals or MQL goals or SQL goals or revenue, pipeline, profit goals, how do we make sure that going up that mountain, the marketing maturity mountain, actually has a computed dollar value? So you can understand this, if we're correct in the bets that we're making, then this would be the expected revenue outcome or whatever KPI you care about, KPI outcome, and this would be the cost to do so. Is that a good exchange, right? So that's what the marketing maturity mountain is all about. So now, this is what it looks like. It's a cute little mountain. It's got five stages. It got two plateaus as well, too. It's essentially our sustainable growth framework of what we recommend next to a client. So imagine, from a conversion rate optimization perspective, you have, like, the first thing you have to do is know that you have conversions coming through. You have leads coming through, right? That's a product market fit. The demand capture could be a standalone landing page that shows that you have a 20% higher lift than your website had, right? From the PMF perspective. Then you take those learnings of the landing page and you apply them to the website. You do on-site CRO, could be like the demand generation stage as well too, have more conversion pockets as well too, or different, you know, gated content, non-gated content as well too, that you can mess around with, because at the end of the day, our website is our number one biggest marketing asset. And there's not a lot of people that think of it that way, and they don't change it to reflect that way of thinking either. If you look at those, like, Wayback machines or website monitoring tools as well too, you can kind of track your competitors and see how often do they change things, and it's not that often. Then you have pricing, offers, and geography. Not much that CRO can do there, but then, like, on the brand side, it can be more of the emotional appeal, right? The things that are more like touching your whole TAM or slicing up in customer segments. So it could be personalization. It could be a platform like Mutiny that shows different content on the site when it's a certain customer segment that's coming through, as an example, right? So this is pretty thorough and encompassing. Do you have any questions, thoughts you want to add on that?
I love it. No, I think one thing that I would add here is, I think one of the things that we're trying to do with this Client Boost Kitchen series is really enable marketers to be able to better communicate with senior leaders. Mm-hmm. So this, again, is one of those frameworks, especially when you take this exact diagram and then plot out where you currently are at on this mountain. It's a really useful tool to be being able to visually communicate to senior leaders why you may need to now invest in demand generation, or why you may need to invest in updating pricing or expanding into new geos. And especially when they see that performance plateau and you actually pinpoint, okay, we're in this performance plateau, and it feels like it in the business because, you know, pipeline acquisition is slowing down, or we're at
max impression share on paid search because that's demand capture 101, right? Like there's nothing more to get, and we're competing for the 5% of the 5%, which again goes back to the macro versus micro. Sorry to cut you off.
No. Exactly. It's exactly that. And again, from my time as an account manager, I've had situations where I've presented this graph and plotted, you know, and you can even take this and like plot different channels at different stages, because that's the case with marketing too. Like different channels can be more mature, and it really does help maybe marketers and senior leaders that aren't as up on channels themselves, really helps them understand. And that can also help you like unlock more budget, for example.
Totally. And we'll go through that. I'll show you how it's all tied together and give, instead of just the cute little mountain, like what's the meat on the bone, so to speak. Mm. And as you grow, as you mature with marketing, right, the complexity will naturally increase. So as you go up the mountain, you'll notice that there's like new activities that we're recommending. There's new strategies and tactics within those activities. And activities are like marketing disciplines, new technology required as well too. New KPIs and triggers to be aware of, new measurement models, and new reporting needs as well too. Not to speak about more complex attribution modeling, server side tracking, like our own in-house team as well too, like are having their own version of the marketing maturity mountain as well too. So here's where it gets exciting. So we will show you this whole, actually the screenshot is not enough to even take a screenshot from my screen size. And so there's a Google Sheet that has a really, really strong foundational setup of all the different types of marketing activities and disciplines that a common amount of B2B companies go and do. And I'll show you. We have KPIs and triggers for website and digital UX, organic search, paid search, paid social, email and marketing automation, affiliate and partner marketing, outbound marketing, conversion rate optimization, programmatic, and direct and physical mail as well too. And so you take from our previous episode of the math of marketing, know what the, again, inputs are to make sure, and then figure out what your triggers are, what we recommend. And these are partner with Google and LinkedIn and other B2B clients of ours as well too, that we've holistically taken all that data and plotted together. And then also work with some of our higher level B2B SaaS specific clients on, does this fly? Like, does this make sense for you guys as far as knowing what's next? And for us at KB, it also dictates our own future service roadmap quite a bit, because some of these things we don't actually do yet. Like media mix modeling, for example, not to be confused with MMM. That's why we couldn't call the Marketing Maturity Mountain MMM, by the way. It's why we call it M cubed. So just so you guys know the difference, but we will share everything that you see here in the newsletter, in the blog post as well too, so you guys can download it and use it yourself as well. Now on the right-hand side, you see like a snapshot, and the darker green areas are essentially like where an average client of ours could start off with, like where they're at, right? And so you wanna make sure that the graduation requirements to go from demand capture to demand generation, for example, are quantitative, like they're measurable as well too. So when we see, for example, that in paid search under the paid media umbrella, that search impression share is greater than or equal to 80%. We know we're pretty much exhausting. Again, we're going to hit that plateau that we just talked about. And it's time to go to making sure that we have more complex, but we keep that plate spinning as well too. And there's many, many clients who come to us and are in like either still the product market fit, despite being a pretty decent sized company, or the demand capture stage. And even though they say that we do demand generation, but they actually don't, like 90% of their budget is in demand capture. Doesn't that happen a lot?
Yeah, shots fired.
So, and the same thing with like SEO. So again, we'll give you, well, this is just like a zoomed in version of what you see on the smaller visual on the left as well too. Now, here's a cool thing. If you were part of our previous episode and you were understanding the math of marketing and what we call the growth grid, Well, now you can compute what ends up happening when you move from one stage on the paid media portion of the Marketing Maturity Mountain or the SEO portion of the Marketing Maturity Mountain, CRO, analytics, tracking, what have you. Because when you put in what you recommend to do as the next step, it needs to be from some logical framework that you're using. And that's where the Marketing Maturity Mountain is from, essentially. So the things that you see in our growth grid come from what we already deem as the next smartest, lowest risk thing, naturally progressive thing to do for within that marketing discipline. You follow me?
Yeah, for sure. And I think one thing I would add there is, you know, we give kind of benchmark KPIs to kind of shoot for, but it really varies massively from business to business and industry to industry.
So totally.
Same thing again with that growth grid. That's going to be usually based on the most up-to-date figures relative to your business right now.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So we want to create the framework and the guardrails, and you can input and make it your own essentially as well too. And this is cool for figuring out if your HR team is asking you, what's your plan for this year? We have the financial budget and the goals. Is your team size the correct size to achieve that goal? Do you need other people as well too? And most marketers, to be fair, and again, not that a lot of them have this knowledge or experience, they don't know what to say. They don't know what to answer. Like now you can start answering saying, yeah, either I want to hire an agency or I want to hire X amount of other people in-house because we've done really well on paid media. Now it's time to invest in SEO. Now it's time to invest in CRO because we've done the math as well too. And so in the interview process, you can ask the people as well too, help me understand how your SEO efforts led to business efforts. Did you have an understanding of how more organic traffic or certain types of organic traffic led to, you know, revenue goals, and how did you help achieve that too? So when they join the team, you're already speaking the same language. Like they're not going to be having to have too much of a training session to understand how you guys make decisions. And I want to give a shout out to you actually, Pat, because on the marketing team, you rework this growth grid like once a month about, and because things move, right? It's not static. And so you're going to figure out, cool, like what's the next best bet we have as well too? Did something change that we can spend more in something that's already working really well for us? Or is it that the priorities shift in terms of what's next as well too? Because when I come and ask and say, hey, we're doing really good on retention. We have great same store growth. We're hitting our MQL targets. Sales is doing well too. We're ahead of pacing for our yearly budget. Like let's put some gas on the fire or pour some gas on the fire, as they say. And internally, what do we say? Foot in the gas as well too. So if I were to ask you that and say, hey, here's $20,000 more a month to spend, where would you spend it and why? You already know because you have this ready, I think, right? I'm not putting you on the spot now.
Yeah, no, I know exactly. I put it into LinkedIn. And 100% put it into LinkedIn because that's dominating for us right now. And I think I would add to this as well. So it's going to allow you to make those hires and those channel expansion decisions much more strategically. I've worked with clients for the past 6 years, and there's so many times when, you know, a POC will just say to me, oh, I'm going to bring in a demand generation manager because they've heard on LinkedIn that that's, you know, the new exciting thing that they should do, but haven't really fully thought through, well, what role is going to service the business or what channel is going to service the business? And sometimes you think, well, actually, the weak spot for your business may have been SEO, and that money would have been much more well spent on that channel expansion. And then usually what happens is they, you know, they bring the new manager in, and then 6 months down the line, the performance is still not at the level that they wanted it to be. And that money could have been much better utilized somewhere else. And they would be having much happier conversations with their senior leaders too.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, as you hire more people and you even bring on an agency, you're increasing the complexity. So like your resource of time is getting diluted now as well too. So there's all these other factors as well too. But if you had come to your boss or HR and said, here's the next lever that we can use, here's the math, a demand gen manager would be responsible for achieving this goal within this time frame, and we would tell them that in the interview process, and we would ask them questions specifically about how they'd done that before, so we believe that they're the right person for the job. Now your bet is going to make a lot more sense, right? But a lot of people, they don't do that. It's very shallow. So, all right, bite-sized recipe. Let me keep going. So an interesting thing, as you look at the big marketing maturity mountain and figure out where you are for each marketing activity, you can then compute like where you are on the mountain. And then the coolest part you can do is that as you compute, well, what would happen if we went from the product market fit to the demand capture for all the marketing activities that we have, if the math will math and we of course hit our goal, you can take all the compounding investments that you're trying to make and see what the potential could be. And you can say, if we get and move from the middle of product market fit to demand capture with the paid media that we have, SEO and CRO, we should be able to get $52,000 more in monthly revenue, but it's going to cost us $10,000 to do that. So if you have margin, gross margin constraints, is that a good trade-off, right? That's going back to the previous episode. Like, how do you know if that's a good bet to make? And you can keep doing this as you go up the mountain. And the coolest part, as you do, let's say, demand generation at some point, and you do it well, it actually helps improve the performance of the previous stage as well too. So all your demand capture, the people who will come into your funnel, go on Google Ads or in your retargeting audience and convert, they'll probably convert at a higher rate. So you're having a lower CAC because you've done a great job being top of mind from a demand gen perspective. And again, being in the mental availability, that like you're at the top of the memory list, so to speak, right? That happens. And we've seen that with clients. And when you do brand correctly as well too, where you're having a wide, more emotional appeal to the majority of your TAM as well too, well, you're building this moat and unfair advantage that makes demand generation and demand capture perform even better as well too. So there's this like additional lift in performance that happens when all the plates are spinning correctly as well too. Now, lastly, let me show you this, is when you then go to the C-suite, or again, any person that's making the decisions as well too, well, how do you show what bets from the growth grid that you created using the next best thing that you recommend from the marketing maturity mountain? So you've done the math and you figure out what KPI the client, excuse me, not client, that's who we talk to, but internally, or even if it is a client, if you're at another marketing agency, what KPI do they care about, right? And then how do you compute the gain in KPI? And that KPI could be revenue, it could be profit, SQL volume, lead volume, demo volume. It could be ROAS if you are an e-commerce marketer listening to a B2B marketing podcast. Hello, you shouldn't be here. But you can do it with all those things. And then you can say, if you take advantage of opportunity one and two, and we increase the current state of what we're already doing, the plates are already spinning by 10%, we can go from 320 a month, you know, KPI to 448 KPI. And here's the cost to do that. And here's like the value of doing that. So you want to get as close to comparing apples to apples, meaning dollars to dollars. It costs X to do this and do it correctly. And we're going to get X dollars back from doing it. If you say it's going to cost X dollars and you're going to get X KPI, it's apples and oranges. You're not going to have the easiest time. And that's why that, again, previous episode of the math of marketing and the waterfall, knowing that is going to be helpful for you to get the buy-in, because you're going to be speaking the language of, you know, somebody who might not respect marketing as well too, but they respect dollars and they respect logic, hopefully.
Everybody respects dollars.
Everybody respects dollars and pounds. Don't get me wrong as well too. We've got homies on the other side of the pond. So your takeaways for the marketing maturity mountain, always knowing what's next for every marketing activity from the product market fit stage all the way to the brand stage. Crazy, right? That's amazing. You'll make your own tweaks depending on your industry, your business, your inputs of math as well too, but what a roadmap. Like, that's super, super powerful. And you can compute whatever desired KPI impact and prioritize the next investments through the lowest cost per KPI. So you'll see that when we create growth grids, the number one recommended thing that we have is either having the highest ROI possible, like the highest revenue gain or profit gain, or it's the lowest cost per SQL or the lowest cost per MQL, whichever KPI the current client can track with their current infrastructure as well too. And now you can plan for short-term and long-term stuff and be rooted in logic and the data as well too. That helps you get buy-in from other stakeholders. Like, what the fuck more could you ask for?
100%, dude.
All right. Thanks for being my co-host today, Pat, and saying next to nothing, but whatever, dude. Like, I know the cops are knocking at your door any given time now.
Yeah, that's it. You crushed it too hard. You said everything that needed to be said.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you for hanging out with us. We'll talk later.
Cheers, folks.